Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in his province, growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
Growing the Game with Ballsy, brought to you by Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan, by Mark Greshner Photography, by Boys Next Door Window Cleaning, by Riviera Ag Seeds out there in Radville, by Corey Zadorozniak and the Double Z Ag Sales Group out there in Weyburn, and by Face First Medical Aesthetics, where you lose your wrinkles, not your edge. Always put your best face first. Time now to speak with a lady who's made some history in these parts. It's Emma Ray Dale. She's a linebacker, used to be for the Saskatoon Valkyries, but now she is with the Saskatoon Hilltops. Yes, Emma Ray Dale is our athlete of the week for Paul Waldo over at Royal LePage, getting a real estate game with a three-time Grey Cup champ, 306-502-5355. Emma Ray, how does it feel to be historic in nature, I guess?
It's pretty crazy to me still. It's been a whirlwind of a couple of days and just trying to take it all in. But yeah, it's definitely really surreal and very humbling to be the one doing this, but I'm really thankful for the opportunity to do so.
Talk about how big your phone's been blowing up.
Oh, yeah, it's been going off like crazy.
I thought we were friends, Emma Ray. It took you 2 days to get a hold of me.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't know.
I'm not gonna go snag my Emma Ray Dale jersey now, Hilltop jersey from the jersey store. How did this process come to be?
Honestly, kind of grace of God, happenstance, fate. But I guess the ball would have started rolling in February when I bumped into Jeff Yowsey when the Hilltops were having an indoor practice before COVID at the training facility I work at. And yeah, that was kind of, he said, "Hey, what do you think?" And I was pretty shocked that he even asked, honestly. And yeah, the rest is kind of history from there when we got things moving.
You've been playing football for how long now? I know we talked in the past, but my memory not that great. When did you start playing this game?
In 2016. I had been to fall camps with the Valks before that when I was in high school, but this would have been my fifth year with the Valks had the season gone forward.
Yeah, you know what? You have a couple of brothers that used to play for the Hilltops, so it runs in the family, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so just tell us about your brothers. Were they an influence in you getting into the game?
Absolutely, they were. My oldest brother, Anthony, was an O-lineman. So, I mean, different positions, but right. Yeah, like watched him growing up. And he did the Hilltops, and then he moved on with the Rams, had a very successful career. And then my brother Donovan was with the Hilltops, and then went to the Thunderbirds, first, and then to the Huskies, and was a CFL hopeful as well. And Donald was a defensive tackle, and so definitely when I play, I always kind of try to channel him a little bit, because whenever people talked about Donald, they always talked about how he had a motor that just never really quit and how he was pretty tenacious. So definitely always kind of try to do both him and Anthony proud whenever I play.
You've always been an LB. What do you like about linebacking?
I love that you kind of get your hand in almost every play. You're able to just ball out and, you know, turn on beast mode, and there's nothing quite like stopping a run, getting a QB sack. That feeling is just not comparable to anything else. And yeah, I like that you're just pretty much involved in everything, and you're going to see some action pretty much almost every play. And I don't know, I just like that you get to just, yeah, be a stud on the field, I guess.
You've got a cool football name too, Emma Ray Dale.
Thank you.
Don't you think so? I think that's a cool name, actually.
It's got a good little ring.
It might actually have the best Dale football name amongst you and your brothers. What do you think? Do you rib them? You should rib them about that, I think.
I think maybe I should a little bit.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
so,
I appreciate that.
I think you were, number 45 with the Valkyries, if I'm right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Is that a number special to you?
Oh, absolutely it is. That number kind of was randomly given to me when I first joined Valks. Like, I didn't really have a certain number in mind, but then that was the number that I was given. But then that also was one of my coaches, the late Justin Filto. That was his number. And
right.
So now that number definitely has way more significance to me now, because he always kind of thought I was his mini-me because we had the same number, we played the same position, both NAC linebackers. So, yeah, that's another thing, is that that's why that number is definitely means a lot to me now, too.
Yeah, God rest his soul. And that's a neat little sidebar there to this. So... Have you worked out with the Hilltops yet? You said Yauzi approached you, the D coordinator, but have you worked out with them at all?
Yes, I have. So I was supposed to go to my first, like, I guess, indoor turf practice with them just right as COVID hit, so I wasn't able to. But I've actually been working out and doing just other running sessions with Hilltops at the gym that I work at. So I've been around them. Like, they're not unfamiliar with me. And, yeah, last night would have been our third practice.
Awesome. So how have you been received by the guys?
Pretty well, honestly. I think at first, at the, like the first practice, I think they all were kind of giving me the side. I just more so confused as to why I was there. But no, they've all been really awesome. They don't treat me any different. They don't treat me like, you know, you shouldn't be here, anything like that. They've made me feel very welcome. And yeah, it's been, I just feel like I'm part of the team.
I've talked to a lot of Canadian quarterbacks that try to make it in the CFL at the next level. And there's kind of, you know, you talk to them and I feel it too. There's almost a bias against them. Well, you're a Canadian quarterback, you can't be that good. So they feel they got to work that much harder to prove that they can do it. Do you feel that as a woman now in a man's game, that you're going to have to work that much harder? Like for instance, and no disrespect, but a boy linebacker makes a mistake. Well, he just made a mistake. But Emma Ray Dale makes a mistake. Well, I mean, it's probably because she's a girl. Like, do you think there's some of that stereotype you got to get around?
No, absolutely. That is definitely... That's something that's kind of been on my mind since day one when this whole thing was, you know, getting underway, is that I know that because I'm a girl, I'm going to have to work twice as hard, because I know that people are going to think, oh, well, this isn't like a real thing. This is just a publicity stunt or whatever, but it's not that at all. But yeah, it's just football. And at the end of the day, I just want to work hard, and I'm just excited for the opportunity to, you know, keep learning the game and getting better and like faster. And but no, I definitely know that there's going to be a little bit of pressure to just like work twice as hard.
Mm-hmm.
Just yeah, because I know I got to earn my spot. I know that nothing's going to be handed to me either.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's
so early on. Have you been keeping up? Have you been holding your own? Do you feel like it's just, if I put it to you this way? If I went and watched the Hilltops practice right now, would I notice that you're Emma Ray Dale different than everybody else? Would you think I'd notice, or have you been pretty, have you blended in pretty good?
I think I've blended in pretty well so far. I mean, you might just notice that I have a definite height disadvantage from all the other linebackers, but so far I've been holding my own. I don't think I stick out like a sore thumb or anything like that, other than I'm a girl and you might be able to pick that out, but I honestly don't think some people have been able to. I think it's been good so far.
Besides your brothers, who has been and Justin Filto, you talked about him. Who have you looked up to? Is there a pro player you've emulated? Because there's no female pro players to really watch except for lingerie football, and that is a publicity stunt. So who are you watching, maybe at the CFL level or the NFL level? Anybody that you try to mimic? Or is that hard? Is that hard for you? Because, I mean, this is it. To me, this is really, I love it, but it's very interesting because, you know, I talk to my son's a football player. Who do you want to be? Well, I want to be this guy or want to be that guy. But it's a guy comparing himself to a guy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's the thing for sure, is that I, not that like there aren't like plenty of CFL and NFL players that I don't look up to, but yeah, like it's just their guy. So I haven't like ever really thought, oh, they're my inspiration or like they're, you know, who I want to be. But it's always just kind of been people who are around me, close to me, like my family or even the women that I played with, who are the ones that inspire me, you know, the ones that I see day in and day out pushing themselves and like making themselves better are the ones that inspire me. So yeah, it's kind of hard to like even say like a big name, just because it is different comparing yourself to a man
I've got
than
a ton-
to a woman who's, yeah.
I've got a ton of respect for you. And so who who inspired, like, who do you go to when you're stressed out? Because imagine this, you're going to play with a bunch of guys, a trendsetter, a trailblazer in these parts. It's a wonderful story, but you're, you know, football's such a mental game. It's a very insecure game, depending on your position. Everybody sees the quarterback throw an interception. Everybody sees the corner, the safety. They're the last guy around the guy that catches the ball. So there's a, you know, there's a lot of insecurity in the game. You could get benched. You could get cut, depending how high you go. But you have another level of mental hurdles to jump, because like we've said, you're a girl in a predominantly guy game. So what do you do to deal with stress? Who do you kind of rely on?
Definitely my family. I go to a lot if ever I'm just like feeling discouraged or anything like that, because I know that they believe in me. And yeah, I'm lucky to have a lot of I have really big support system and a lot of people in my corner that who encourage me and give me positivity day in and day out. So I'm pretty lucky in that field that I have a lot of people who believe in me, and I know that my coaches believe in me, and that's kind of what gives me my confidence and composure, like going into things. And that helps my mental side, just knowing that like my coaches believe in me and I have a lot of people who believe in me, and that I wouldn't be there if, you know, they didn't see something in me. So that's definitely what kind of helps. There's not just one person. Yeah. It takes an army, really.
Yeah, okay. So there's two more quick questions I wanted to ask you. You know, looking for the silver lining in COVID-19, you're doing this, and it's a better transition because you're not thrown into the fire. You get a whole off season, an extended off season to work with these guys, mm-hmm. which will absolutely work to your benefit, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was kind of, yeah, definitely bittersweet. I was definitely excited, like hopeful that there would turn out to be a season this year. But there's definitely a silver lining that I'm looking forward to. Yeah, the chance just to have an extra long time to prep gives me more of a chance to kind of settle in and, yeah, just get bigger, stronger, and bulk up a little bit maybe too. But, yeah, so I'm definitely thankful that this is kind of how things are playing out. It kind of works out almost in the end.
Okay, so I'm going to squeeze one more in there. What do you got for eligibility left at junior football level?
I think I get my 1 year, and that's it.
Okay, so this is a 1 year deal, and hopefully you can make something happen with regards to that. What are you playing at? You talked about being undersized. How big are you? I know we're not supposed to ask girls that, but you're a football player now. You're not a girl.
I'm like 5'6". If I'm being generous, maybe you could say 5'7". And like 180 pounds.
Okay, so what's realistic for you? Let's be honest here. You're not going to walk on and start for the Hilltops, the six-time defending champ. So what is a realistic goal of yours, and what has Tom Sargent told you is a realistic expectation for you?
Like in terms of playing, I guess?
Playing or getting on the field. So it's not quote-unquote a publicity stunt. So, hey,
yeah.
We actually believe in Emma Dale's skills, and she can get on the field. So what is your goal, and what have they told you?
Well, my goal is definitely, to get a starting position. I know that, yeah. I mean, you got to dream big, you know. If you don't have that confidence, you're never going to get it, right? So, I don't know, my A goal would be that, you know, I'm a starting linebacker for the Hilltops. Mm-hmm. That would be, like, a dream come true, of course. But in terms of, like, how I think things are really going to play out, I think maybe they'll start me in some special teams, but I know that right now the focus isn't really any of that stuff. It's more so just growing me as a player and just, you know, kind of fine-tuning all my skills. And, yeah, that's kind of the expectation so far.
Hey, my apologies. I didn't mean to say that you couldn't start. It would be a tough nut for anybody to crack just to show up and try to be a starting linebacker on the six-time defending champ. Hey, you could do it. You've already gone farther than many would expect you to go. Are your parents nervous about you playing with boys now, with young men?
I think there's that a little bit of that concern from all of my loved ones. I, you know, nobody wants to see me get hurt or anything like that. Like, I think everyone has a little bit of that concern, but that comes with any sport, whether you're playing with men or women. So, but I think for the most part, my parents are both just, very happy and very supportive and just really happy to be Hilltops parents again.
Worst injury you've sustained?
In my very first year of football, I had a partial grade 2 LCL tear, but that only really took like a month to heal up. So,
this is just the feminine side of you now. When you get that nasty turf burn, does it limit what you can wear, like the nice dresses and things like that?
No, I let them bear it all.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Okay, lastly, this is very interesting. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to this angle, and I love it for what it does for the girls' game. Have you stopped to think a little bit what you're doing to help grow the game for girls? Because I really think football can grow in two ways. New Canadians, immigrants that don't know our game, and the female side of the sport. Have you thought about what you're doing to help further the game of football for young ladies like you and younger ladies like you that would maybe one day aspire to be Emma Ray Dale? Have you thought about that? And how much pressure does that add to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, I hadn't given it like a ton of thought until like these last few days. And I think I have no idea where it's going to affect people, but I'm hoping that it'll create some waves, whether that be, yeah, just encouraging girls to go out of their comfort zone, because like growing girls in sport is definitely an issue, that there needs to be more women in sport. And that's definitely something I'm a huge advocate for, is just promoting that. So definitely hoping that it'll create some waves, and you know, even if it just inspires one person, then, you know, then I feel like that's a, you know, accomplishment in and of itself. And I feel like it's almost like, grand scheme of things, I'm sure it will grow the sport and help the sport, but how that will happen, I'm not sure yet, but I'm excited to see what the future holds for sure.
All right. Thanks very much for your time, Emma Ray Dale. And I really am looking forward to your 1 year with the Saskatoon Hilltops, just to see how far you could take it. Good luck, okay?
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Here's today's pandemic epiphany.
After 6 months of listening to people talk with masks on, I finally understand what Charlie Brown's teacher was saying.
Time now for the Pick 6, brought to you by SAS Selects Football, building the stars of tomorrow today. Deb and her husband Zelko Stefanovic doing a great job of promoting football amongst our youth with that 7-on-7 league that they started a couple of weekends ago. They've got the junior varsity and varsity programs, and judging by the early response, it's been very well received. You can check out all their stats and information on that on their webpage and also on their Facebook page. Number one on the Pick 6, only two NFL teams, the KC Chiefs and Jacksonville Jags, had fans in their stadiums for week one. Not at full capacity, of course. Both had around 16,000 in attendance. In the coming week, six other home teams have announced plans to allow fans in the stands. And the main reason for that is money. The Cowboys are losing the most at $77 million. Per game, or $616 million over eight home games. The Patriots next at $39 million a game, followed by the Giants, $32 million, the Texans, $27 million, and the Jets at $27 million. The Jets? Just end the season? They're used to playing in front of no fans. Now, these numbers include things like tickets, concessions, sponsors, parking, and merchandise. The Cincinnati Bengals didn't have fans for their opener, but they'll allow 6,000 into their next two home games. The Broncos are welcoming 5,700 fans to their next game. The Colts are capping off attendance at 2,500 fans. The Dolphins are trying 13,000 fans. And the Cleveland Browns are okay with 6,789? Now, you have to wonder how they pick these numbers. The Colts might be thinking, we're in the middle of Indiana. We probably shouldn't risk killing more than 2,500 at a time. The Dolphins might have chosen 13,000 because Dan Marino's lucky number 13. I don't know, I'm grasping for straws here. The clueless Browns, I mean, who knows? They probably dropped a football on the keyboard to produce the number 6,789. That might be a better crowd than expected, actually, to be honest with you. Number two in Ballsy's pick six. Speaking of the Brownies, tonight it's Joe Burrow against Baker Mayfield. Burrow should have won his debut last week against the Chargers, but there was that ticky-tack OPI call against his receiver, A.J. Green, and then his kicker missed a 31-yard field goal to tie the game. Did you see the kicker, Randy Bullock? He came up lame on the kick, grabbing his right leg, but limped off the field, favoring the other leg, his left leg. Speaking of the Browns, they cut their kicker after he shit the bed. Big surprise. They worked out former BC Lions Sergio Castillo. What? I thought Chris Jones was still in the Brownies organization. Let's give Brett Lowther a chance. I talked to Brett today. So far, no calls. He admittedly is frustrated, but he says he's gone through this before trying to get a shot in the CFL, so he's going to remain patient. Ah, yes, the politics of football. Good luck, Brett. I know when you get your chance, you'll nail it and you'll stick for sure. Number three on Ballsy's pick six. The Big Ten Conference has reversed course and will play football during the pandemic after all. The season will start the weekend of October 23rd. Now, the Big Ten includes schools like Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Nebraska, Purdue. They faced intense pressure from coaches, players, parents, and fans who wanted them to play this fall, so they've reversed course. Now, a lot of players in the Can West that I've talked to are really frustrated they can't play here. Same thing with CFL players. Well, we all know it comes down to money. We don't have the resources to test like these schools do, or in the case of the CFL, like the NFL does. Also, most people running universities here in Canada are left-leaning. Come on, it's true. They tell you they have an appetite for sports, but that is just lip service. They like to get the sports fees, but aren't really interested in promoting or investing in student athletes. It is just a lot of lip service. They barely treat it better than intramurals. Just different worlds, different mentalities. Frustrating, but it's the way it is right now. And until something changes organizationally, this is what we're stuck with. You heard from Emery Dale earlier in the podcast of the Saskatoon Hilltops. I've got a ton of respect for her and for the Toppers organization. This is not a publicity stunt. When you win six championships in a row like Tom Sargent, you don't need to piss around for PR purposes. If she warrants it, Dale will get playing time. Great move by the champs. The best team turns out to be a trailblazing team. I've always said this, you grow this game at the grassroots through the inclusion of women and new Canadians, and the Toppers appear to be getting it. Here's a couple under-the-radar, behind-the-scenes stories from the bubble in Edmonton. Perry Dowling is the most unique resident of that NHL playoff bubble. It's hard not to stand out when you're a six-month-old baby girl in the epicenter of closed-off hockey. Perry's dad is Dallas Stars forward Justin Dowling, who is now preparing for the Stanley Cup Final. At this moment, Meg and Perry are the only family members of any players of the three remaining NHL teams who have entered the league's bubble in Edmonton. Meg and the baby were allowed to sit in the club section for games 4 and 5, where Meg was able to order food. Imagine that. She got a hamburger during game 5. It's normal in-game behavior that, you know, against the current league backdrop now seems wildly extraordinary. Imagine the Stanley Cup Final, Dallas and whoever they're going to play, and there's a baby crying in the crowd, Game 7, Stanley Cup Final. That's normally Leaf fans bawling after they get ousted in the first round, or Oilers fans who are watching the Stanley Cup in their own building when their team doesn't have a sniff. Anyway, the Stars eliminated the Vegas Golden Knights. The other great story, kudos to the Knights, who throughout the playoffs bought pizza for an Edmonton homeless shelter and really served the community there while they were in Edmonton. So great stories there. And the Vegas Golden Knights are just a great story all the way around. They might be the best expansion team in professional sports, in North American professional sports history. And number six in Ballsy's pick six, in less than a week, the Jays have lost 18-1, 20-6, and 13-2. And there's talk once again of a mercy rule in order to speed up the length of the games. Now, this might work in Little League, but that doesn't mean it should be brought into professional baseball where players are paid to do a job. They get paid a lot of money to play a kid's game. I don't get to go home early because I suck at my job that day. I know a lot of people would like me to go home early, but you and I don't get to go home early at our low-paying jobs if we suck that day, if the day gets away on us. I'll tell you what, man. Baseball is the last sport that should be called early. I remember watching a game between the Patriots and the Tennessee Titans in Foxborough on TV. It was snowing, and it was like 56-0 for New England, and they would never think of quitting. And that's football, where someone's getting hammered and destroyed on every play. There's no crying in baseball, and there's no quitting early.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.